Hej, jag heter Susanne och det här är Lugn och inre ro. Och idag så har jag för första gången med mig en gäst. Och hon heter Helen Amery. Och Helen Amery är författare till den boken som heter The Complete Book of Awakening. Som hon har skrivit tillsammans med en som heter Sarah Priestley. Så jag har bjudit in henne idag. Dels för att prata om den här boken. Och dels för att nu nästa vecka mellan den 17 och 19 januari så kommer hon ha en gratis 3-dagars summit. Var varje dag så finns det 4 talare som talar om olika områden inom just det här med uppvaknandet. Så det är 3 dagar där de är inspelade, så även om det är på engelska så har man möjlighet att spola fram, spola tillbaka, lyssna om. Jag tänkte i alla fall ge dem som inte känner till den här summiten möjligheten att kanske lyssna på andra. Att få in lite nya input. Att se om det är någonting som resonerar med dig. Om det är någonting som du tycker kan vara kul. Så hon ska berätta om boken och så ska hon berätta om den här summit. Och det blev ett bra samtal och jag hoppas att ni också tycker det. Tyvärr så är min mikrofon inte bra. Jag råkade trycka på fel på Zoom när jag spelade in den här, så att det låter som om jag sitter under vatten, så att ja, jag beklagar, men det är hon som ni ska lyssna på, jag pratar inte så mycket, så att, och hon är väldigt klar och tydlig i sin mikrofon. Bra, jag hoppas att ni tycker det är kul och så ja, ta hand om er och varsågoda.
Right, so hi Helen.
Hi. Great to see you.
Oh, it's so nice to see you too. So I've invited you on the pod today because I've been kind of away from my pod for the past 4 weeks. And I just wanted to, I wanted to have you on because you have so much to offer. And I wanted to introduce you to my listeners. And I wanted to give them something. So you're kind of a gift that I'd like to give them because there's so much happening. And I've been away because I kind of been seeing new things. I've been seeing so many new things. And I explained that in a pod to them. And so that's gone out. But I do want to do something nice and special for them. So, and I just explained to them that you're going to talk about a little bit about your book that you've written together with Sarah Priestley and a little bit about the summit that you're offering to it. And just in case somebody wants to find other people, listen to other people, maybe there's an area that they resonate more with and want to learn more. So that's why. So tell me a little bit about this book, the Complete Book of Awakening. I've read it, but I'd really like you to kind of explain in your own words. How would you explain this?
Thanks, Suzanne. And I just want to say, like, how amazing that you can switch languages like that. I'm so in awe of anybody who can have more than one language. So just incredible, incredible. Thank you for doing that for us and for your for your audience. Really appreciate it. So so first let me give some context in terms of Sarah and I have quite clear definitions of awakening and enlightenment as two different things, or at least as two parts of what's usually a whole process. And not everybody makes that distinction. And I always feel it's really important to make that clear, because on my journey, I found that language, funny actually, we're talking about language, given what we've just said about, you know, speaking different languages. On my journey, I found that people would use certain words and I would almost assume sometimes what they meant by it. And sometimes I think I'd like to go back and just have the conversation with some of these people and go, well, what did you mean by awakening? Or what did you mean by consciousness? Or what did you mean by awareness? Because I think so many words get used with sometimes slightly different emphasis or slightly different intention or meaning. So, yeah, so I felt it was really important to say up front that we are really clear that awakening is one thing and enlightenment is the other. And they do tend to come as a whole package, but there is a difference in what they're doing. So should I talk about that a bit first before I talk about the book?
Yeah, I think that's so important. So if I could just take a second, just for those who because in Swedish, yeah, it's different. The words really, yeah, don't exist. So let me just take a second. Yeah. So Helen says här att det är väldigt viktigt att vi skiljer på två saker. Vi skiljer på att öppna vaknande, att vakna, awakening heter det på engelska, och enlightenment som är upplysande. Nu ska hon förklara varför det är så viktigt att vi skiljer på de här två sakerna. Right.
Cool, thank you. So for us, awakening is recognizing our essential nature, what is most fundamental to us, that is irreducible, that can't be changed, can't be taken away, never disappears, and therefore actually we don't even find evidence that it ever appeared. So that which is absolutely the most fundamental and essential, and that's what we count as awakening, that recognition of that we are is awakening. And then there's a deepening of that as it becomes more and more and more apparent, as we become more and more and more familiar, as we remember it. And then enlightenment, we are clear, is much more in the human realm. So we've all collected ideas through our life about who we should be and how we should behave and what jobs we should do, how we should spend our time and how much we should work versus relax, and how many kids we should have and what behaviors are acceptable in us and what aren't. All these myriad of ideas, and some of them are fine and don't really bother us, you know. It's just, yeah, this human life is about living within ideas. But some of them, when we've really taken them to heart, when we've really attached and identified with them, they can create a lot of limit in our experience and create a lot of suffering, because we believe we're perhaps not capable of something, or we can't speak up in this circumstance, or we don't deserve X, Y, or Z. And so that is then the enlightenment process, where we clear up some of these confusions, which can sometimes be quite simple and quite light and obvious, but sometimes they can be very deep and very very much rooted in our childhood, where we picked up ideas of unworthiness or not being valuable or not being acceptable or not being lovable. And those ones tend to be very hidden. And so enlightenment is very much a process of working our way backwards through these layers of ideas until we get to that heart of it, to the really core fears and doubts and worries about who we think we are, and to really bring love and understanding to that, and to clear these from our system, you know, to disidentify from them really, so that we can be back in a much more free flowing experience of being a person, being who we're here to be.
All right, lovely. So then, if I just summarize it, so awakening is awakening to our true nature, which is ever changing, which is never changing. It's always the same. It is who we are, in a sense. Mm. And then enlightenment is for the human experience, that we have these experiences, and these experiences are based on our path. Mm. And the enlightenment is seeing what is happening in the moment in everyday life. So
yes, seeing it and clearing it,
and clearing
or perhaps disidentifying from it is the most accurate, to see that. So for example, what I discovered last year was that I believed I would be rejected if I didn't. Let me go back. I believed I was fundamentally wrong. And that if I could do the right things and be the right kind of person, be a good girl, then people wouldn't see that I was fundamentally wrong. So that fear had really driven, at least appeared to drive, most of my behaviors through my life, you know, achieving and being busy. And, well, if I can just be good here and be good here and be good here, then it'll all be okay. And it's only when we can turn around and see those fears, and so yes, absolutely see them. It has to be seen first of all, and then bring love to it in some way. And I guess we'll talk more about what the summit is doing, because that's really bringing love to it in all sorts of ways. But bring love to it in some way, so that it's included in our experience, rather than having to run away with it, going, "Oh my goodness, I can't look at that.
Yeah.
If I'm fundamentally wrong, that's terrifying." And actually, it's only when we turn towards these things that that they are then included again. They were already included. You know, it was already a possibility that somebody might think I was fundamentally wrong.
Yeah.
But running away from it doesn't help. It doesn't. Yeah, it just has us feel divided within ourselves, and that doesn't feel good.
And I just like to add, there's an idea that someone who is enlightened all the time, but it really doesn't work. It's some moments we're really enlightened and some moments we're completely lost in whatever it is we're lost in. So enlightenment isn't something to achieve as forever and ever. Enlightenment is something that happens in the moment where you see something that has been hidden in the past and now has come to light. And then we can do something with it when we can see it. Is that what, would you agree with that or?
So yeah, I would agree. That's a lovely way of saying it. And I would say that, and there is an increasing journey of spending more and more time feeling lighter.
Yes.
So as things are cleared and integrated in our system, so we're not fighting internally, we're not feeling divided internally, we're feeling increasingly like our whole selves. And that is the feeling of increasing lightness, increasing enlightenment. But yes, I totally agree that I don't know if this ever comes to an end. You know, it looks like I've seen the most deep fear I could possibly see, but I thought I'd seen my deepest fear before. So, you know, I'm totally open to the fact there could be another deeper fear beneath the one I've already seen. And it's kind of like you kind of move through life going, well, I don't know. So I wonder what the next thing is going to be that reveals itself to me. Yeah, for that light, for that love.
And I experienced that with you just the other week, you know, where I thought, I thought I've been through this. I really thought I had done this, you know, but it's all the time. And it shows itself in many ways all the time. Yeah. So what would you explain? What would you say? You've written this book, and in this book, the whole book is really about experience. The whole book is really not about fear. You explain so well. Mm-hmm. You split it up into four. There's like the question and what
Yeah, so a question,
yeah,
a suggestion, an experiment, and a conclusion.
Right.
Yeah.
So it's four. So there, and then it's up to us to try to do this on ourselves, because this is what I say all the time. We have to put it on ourselves. You can't believe a word I say ever. It has to be experienced on yourself. So you've done book clubs on this. You've taken people through this whole process. And you have one that's starting now, soon, on the 17th or the 19th as well, a book
the
club.
Next group is starting.
So
everything's happening on the 17th of January.
So you take people through this 12-week process, and what would you say is the biggest shift, like, that you see in the group? Like, if you can say anything like that, it's a personal shift, of course, but is it palpable in any way?
So both yes and no. So you're absolutely right. Every single person who comes in those groups is on their own unique journey and on their own unique part of that journey. So there's no, I don't think we could say this for any course, but there's no like generic, oh, everybody leaves with blah, 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 blah. But the one thing I would say that I think everybody does leave with is a greater sense of clarity than they joined with, and therefore a greater sense of peace than they joined with.
Right.
And again, that's by degrees, because it depends where they've started from. It depends what they see during the process.
Yeah.
And in fact, where you start has nothing to do with what shows up on the journey. You know, sometimes people can see things really quickly, especially if they come with no background in personal development.
Right.
It's pretty consistent that if people come into it fresh from inverted commas normal life without having a background in any kind of development, coaching, any of that kind of stuff, it tends to land quicker and more easily. Those of us who've been in all sorts of different books and courses, and we tend to have more ideas that kind of didn't quite get in the way, but we kind of have to put our ideas down for this book, because as I said at the very beginning about awakening being that recognition of our essential nature, that really means putting down all ideas temporarily in order to recognize that nature. So that includes ideas of how to develop myself, how to be a better person. That's not to do with awakening. That's great. We'll talk about that when we get to enlightenment. But while we're there in awakening conversation, no, we put all ideas down. We're putting down everything that we've collected since being born as this person.
Mm-hmm.
So, so I think the So the shift is unique for each person. The journey is unique for each person. There's no prerequisite. There's no, oh, you have to have done X, Y, and Z first. As I say, in fact, if you've done less, it's often easier. Not always, but often. And really, it's coming with that a real beginner's mind, a really, in some ways, a childlike mind. You know, an openness to see, very genuinely, very with a really fresh pair of eyes. You know. And that's part of what the benefit of the groups do, because the book in itself is a complete workshop, and people have and do work through the book on their own, and have dramatic experiences from that, or subtle experiences from that. The difference with the group is that they get that feedback in the moment, because we can't always see for ourselves where we're stuck in an idea. Because if it's a very familiar idea to us, it doesn't look like an idea. It just looks like a truth. So the benefit of being in the group, or in private sessions, is that you've got somebody there to be able to go, oh, look there. That's one of those things, right? Put that down. Now look again. And so it's really kind of, yeah, it's coming to each exploration very fresh each time, just f essentially following the instructions. You know, what's step by step, what's this telling me to do? Right, I'll do that thing. Next step, right, I'll do that thing. You know, very it's very simple, and the mind likes to argue with simple, so it's that's the greatest challenge, really, of the whole process.
Well put. So the complete
So
book of Awakening by Helen Emery and Sarah Priestley. Yeah, I'll leave it in link in the show notes then. Okay, great. Well, that was super nice. So now I'd like to ask you to tell me more about this summit that you're doing, because we don't really have these kind of summits in Sweden, and I really just I think it's such a nice opportunity to just explore different people and the way and different modalities and different ways. And like you said, I think many of the people who listen to my pod have been doing their own work, so they're familiar with them. But I think it's super nice just to be reminded about what there actually is to look at if you want to look. You decide how you want to explain the summit.
Thank you. Yeah, so we've now switched hats again back to enlightenment. So this is very much about our human experience, very much about that conditioning we talked about, the ideas that we've collected, that we sometimes, which has been quite traumatic for us as a child, not even necessarily in the traditional sense of trauma. You know, we can hear the word trauma and think of abuse and awful things. But sometimes a child just getting a big shock, a big surprise in the moment, can be an experience, a traumatic experience, an overwhelming experience. And we've tended, as generally as it felt too big, it felt too much at that age. These things have been pushed down and hidden, and then all these other layers of story put on top of it to try and cover it over. I don't know if you guys have the story, The Princess and the Pea.
Isn't it a Danish? Isn't it? Who wrote it?
I can't remember, but yeah, it probably originates from a very old fable, doesn't it?
I think so too. I think it might even be. Anyway.
It's kind of that thing of a pea under the mattress, and then we've put all these other mattresses, tower and tower. You know, she's on this really tall tower of mattresses, and yet she can still feel this pea. It's still niggling at her. And that I've never it's never occurred to me before, actually, but that's a really great metaphor for enlightenment, because what we're doing really is working our way back down through the mattresses, like taking one off and then another and then another, until we get to the pea. So this summit came about because, in fact, originally because my coach was saying, you should do a summit. A summit would be a great idea. And at first I thought it sounded like a terrible idea, because she explained all the background work and admin and what was required to get it all together, and speakers and the emails and everything. And I thought, gosh, that sounds really not much fun. That sounds very, very hard work, and it doesn't sound enjoyable at all. But then the idea came for this summit, and suddenly the admin side was not an issue. It's like, it's not even consideration. I just want to create this summit. It has to be done. There's no question. And the thing that I loved about when the idea appeared to me was the fact that it does exactly what you've just been saying in terms of looking at all different modalities, because my journey's been very much in different modalities. So I started in 3Ps and non-duality, but along the way, there's been chakra work, there's been some intuitive movement, there's been some sound work, there's been all sorts of things, meditation, loads of different things have come in, energy work. And so I really wanted, and I love that. I've loved that kind of eclectic journey. And I feel like each angle that I've looked at things from, each doorway that I've gone through has kind of been another, it's just another way of supporting the process. It's like the more angles I can look at this thing from and be with it from, the more it's being encapsulated in that love, the more it's being seen and understood in all these different ways, in whatever way is needed for that particular mattress to be, you know, to be taken off the bed. So this summit and the event that you talked about later as well, which comes after it, they both follow this journey, which was really in a broad way my journey, and which is often the journey that people who I work with go on, where we start at the psychological. And that's really what the 3Ps was for me. It was working at the psychological level, but in a very different way than normal psychology. So it was very powerful for me. It really, yeah, blew the doors off of my previous understandings and had a huge impact on me. So that's often where, well, good, and that's where I started. That's often where my clients started as well. You know, that their mind has seemed like a problem. There have been thoughts that have seemed like problems. And so the 3Ps was an amazing way to shift that relationship, to shift that experience. And then what often becomes available then, and people often say, well, I feel like I've seen through this thought. I don't believe the thought, but it's like my emotional system hasn't got the memo. it doesn't know that yet. It's like it hasn't caught up with that insight. And that's so common in my experience, and was same for me too. And so then the next step of this journey we're going on is to work with the emotional system in a different way than we have normally. So to come into another, same as we thought, you know, to come into a healthy, aligned, truthful relationship with our emotions, rather than thinking they're bad and wrong and should be different. All, you'll see this theme, it's all about inclusion. It's all about, you know, being in a healthy relationship with all this stuff. Yeah. And so then when we've worked with our emotional situation and emotional experience, often then we can be more present with the body. Right. We have more capacity. We perhaps notice things, aches or pains or problems that perhaps we hadn't paid attention to because it was way down the pile of priorities, but which they themselves might have information for us from an enlightenment perspective, or purely using the body as another doorway of conversation. It's holding information there,
right? That's very,
you know, well, if we've run these patterns over and over and over again of, yeah, I don't deserve, I don't deserve, I don't deserve, I don't deserve, at a thought level, at an emotional level, and at a physical body level. So inevitably the body is kind of storing this information in its cells, you know, in the system. So then we will be looking at physical enlightenment with that. And then we move into spiritual enlightenment.
So which actually, the first one was psychological, the next one was physical, and now we're moving into...
So psychological, emotional, physical, and then spiritual.
Okay.
And now spiritual actually brings us back to awakening. So we could say that spiritual enlightenment really is the same thing as awakening, because it's the recognition of our essential nature. And that in itself, recognizing our essential nature, can have a huge effect on enlightening our system.
Right.
You know, people, some people have miraculous healing experiences, you know, when they awaken. They can kind of be washed clean of a whole bunch of stuff. Byron Katie was a big example. Yeah. And other people in smaller ways, again, everyone's got a unique journey.
Yeah.
So we bring in the spiritual angle there. We bring in our spiritual essential nature, because it is a powerful aspect of our enlightenment journey. And then for the sixth theme, we're bringing in what I've called holistic, holistic, because these modalities are so all-encompassing.
Right.
We can't really say they're any one of the previous topics, you know,
all happening at the same time.
They're so broad that it's just, it's all of it. It's all of it together. So yes, we'll be moving in this journey. In fact, beginning with make it visible. So the very first theme, make it visible. Because as you said before, with enlightenment, we have to start by seeing it.
Yeah.
We have to start by knowing what it is that is even here to be enlightened. So we very first begin our journey with make it visible, with a couple of wonderful experts who are talking to us about that and how we can use our experience and see, yeah, what's here for me? What are these ideas that I can actually enlighten from?
You know, I've also had one of those journeys where, you know, all of these different modalities. So when I met the three P's, it was really the thought, which I had been working for many years, because my therapist told me, just because you think it doesn't mean it's true. And that was 23 years ago. And that was the biggest insight. And so I've been chasing, I've had that, you know, chasing, and I came to the 3P, which put everything into perspective. Mm-hmm. And then like you said, you know, then, but there's more, you know, always I've been, there's, but there's more that's not explaining these emotions, explaining why I'm still feeling, I know it's thought, but I'm still sad. I'm still angry. I'm still living in this. The realization for me was really that the self is also the thought. So in these modalities that you're presenting, is there a focus on the separate self?
Well, Sarah might talk about it. So Sarah Priestley, who I wrote the book with, is one of the speakers for the spiritual theme.
Okay.
She doesn't talk about it a lot for the summit. It may come into the conversation when we do the main event.
Right.
But Sarah and I both have a greater emphasis on the recognition of our true nature rather than focusing on the disputing of the separate self. So okay. We do that, of course, and we cover that in chapter 6 of the book, and it absolutely is part of the journey. For some people, that's the main thing, to say there is no separate self, there is no separate self, there is no separate self. Our emphasis is more, you are awareness, you are awareness, you are awareness. And occasionally we'll go, but who's this separate self that you think you are? You know, where is this separate self? So we kind of, our emphasis is just different in the way we talk about it. So Sarah may well bring that into her session when she's doing her workshop in June. It's not a right and wrong. It's just the emphasis.
Yeah. So I find that interesting. Yeah. Great. So yeah.
In fact, just on that, so Claire's speaking at in the Make It Visible session.
Right.
So I don't remember her using the word separate self, but she is talking about the fact that whatever it is we've tried to secure through all these different ways, it's impossible. You know, like you said, it is an idea itself. Would it be okay, Suzanne, if I just say something about the three P's? Because I wonder if this might be useful. There was a really quite a significant realization for me in the distinction between thinking and that principle of thought. Because in the three P's, there is a lot of emphasis on thinking and thought. But that principle of thought, capital T, thought, is, as Michael Neal would say, the creative principle. It creates thinking, but it also creates emotion. It also creates a body. It also creates others in a world. And I think that for me was such a huge realization from having initially in the three-piece thinking, oh, well, if I can just sort my thinking out, then everything will be okay.
Right.
And that was really valuable initially, to clear up my thinking to, you know, enough that a lot of things got easier. But when, as you said, you know, the emotional experience is still happening, the reaction, you know, the reaction that happens in an instant, for which there's apparently no thinking involved.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
It's like, well, what about this stuff?
Yes,
so,
exactly.
So that for me is where it's so important to remember that the principle of thought, capital T, is creating all of this, including that instantaneous emotional reaction. And that's why for me, the principles are actually still true with all of these different modalities, because the principle of thought is creating all these different modalities as well. You know, it's all of it. It's not just our thinking mind. So Yeah, I just
And
wondered if
once
that's
again, in
helpful.
Swedish, we don't have that distinction. So we cannot say thought with the capital T. So there's only thinking or thought. And it really is about the I am doing the thinking, my thoughts. There's not the everything thought, all of it combined into one. So it's really a hard distinction. But you're right, that's what that is what clicked it for me as well, that it's not thinking, it's thought. It is thought that is happening. And whether we feel it or think it or hear it or not, it is what is washing over. Yeah,
So
super.
if you have a word for paintbrush, then that could be a good word to use. It's
Paintbrush.
like thought is the paintbrush of life that colors the
Yeah.
canvas.
Paintbrush. I can't think in Swedish right now. Yeah, like a pencil. In pencil, you put it. A pencil of it. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. Super.
Fabulous.
Right. So where were we? We were at, you were saying that, so the holistic and then the integration of all of these. And that is, brings us back to the awakening experience.
So for me, it's all of it. It's all
All
of
of
it.
it.
It's the truth of who we are, and it's that expressing as a human. So yes, being ourself at the most fundamental is the knowing that we are that awareness of all. And being myself as a human means doing that free of that conditioned stuff, free of all those ideas, because the human is not separate from the truth of who we are. There's not a separate awareness and a separate human over here.
No, exactly,
Yeah, it's
just
all the same
arriving at
thing.
all at the same
Same.
time.
And I remember people, people in the past have said things like, oh, well, you just need to be yourself. And I remember hearing that and thinking, well, I have no idea what that is, or if I'm being that or not, or if I'm not being that, how do I do that? Like, I remember that kind of suggestion just like didn't compute. It's like, well, how would I know? And how would I do that if I was going to be myself? Like, I don't know what that involves. And so the only thing I've found is that this journey has revealed the feeling of being myself. It's not been a, I need to do something to be myself. It's like the feeling of being myself is a natural byproduct of that awakening recognition and of the clearing of the conditioning through enlightenment. Both those things together increase the feeling of being myself, not because I'm actively doing it. It's like it's all that's left when everything else is cleared up and sorted out. And that's why I'm talking about revealing your aligned expression. It gets revealed when we clear up all the clutter that's made it look like we're not that.
On the 19th of January, there's a 3-day summit. I'm going to put the link to join in the show notes. How does that look? Is that a few hours a day, or is that?
Yeah, cool. So yeah, 17th is when we start. Although yeah, 16th there'll be a little pre video. The summit properly starts on the 17th. Yeah, 17th to the 19th,
right?
And with access to all the content until the morning of the 22nd, so 9 a.m. UK time. So the idea is that the videos will be released, the conversations will be released through each of those days, day 1, day 2, day 2, day 3, 4 conversations each day being released from the speakers. And each one is between 30 and 45 minutes.
Okay.
So we kept them intentionally quite concise so that it did feel manageable. I've been on summits before where the conversations were an hour and a half or 2 hours, and then it felt like a really big job to, gosh, how do I get to listen to all this and do everything else at the same time? So we purposefully kept them quite short so that they can weave within people's day. Like, great if you can catch them as they go live, but if not, then no worries, you'll have the recordings for a few days. So each day, you'll get some context from me, you'll get the 4 speakers' videos for that day, and it's all being hosted in a community space where all the speakers are as well. So you get to ask questions and be in conversation with others who are there, but also with the speakers. So if you have questions or experiences you want to share with the speakers, then they are there for you to be able to do that. So I really was excited by that part of it, that the conversations are recorded, but
Right.
the speakers are in the community space, so in the online community space. So yeah, if you have a question, you can ask them your questions.
Wow, super nice. There's information about all the speakers on the homepage. I'm assuming. Yeah, and you
There
can.
is, yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to say about the summit? Is there anything else you'd like to kind of add?
No, I think that's good. Yeah, I guess that's perhaps the only thing to say is for people to, if they feel like this is the thing for them, yeah, just come to it with that, with an open mind, with an open heart, ready to hear some fresh stuff from a lovely variety of people. You know, there's each of the people who are speaking are so unique in themselves and how they are in what they're talking about. And so I love the fact that they themselves are representations of a unique expression.
Right.
And that's what I really see we're all yearning for. You know, we really want to be that unique expression that we naturally are. And we've just been told in so many ways that that's not okay. So, yeah, the more that we can see that for ourselves and reveal that for ourselves, I think all the better for the world that we can all feel that feeling of alignment, that feeling of being ourselves and enjoying, you know, enjoying our lives more. So yeah, if that feels good for people, then it'd be wonderful to see them there.
Yeah, I hope so. Right. Well, thank you so much, Ellen. It's just been nice to talk to you as always. And yeah, I look forward to the summit.
Thank you.
Thank
Thanks so
you.
much for having me on. Thank you to all your lovely listeners. I hope
Yeah.
it's valuable, even though I can't speak Swedish.
Cool. All right. So
Yeah, thank you. Take care.
okay, bye.